Hey, what's going on, everyone? My name is J.R. Robinson. Once again, I'd like to welcome you to When He Speaks Erotica from a Man's Perspective. And as always, I want to say thank you to the listeners and thank you to everyone who supports this channel. My topic for the night is committing suicide. Is it the ultimate form of betrayal in a relationship? And I know this topic might be a little touchy for some, you know, who may have experienced this. But also remember, I'm giving this from my perspective. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just having a talk about something that I feel strongly about. So with that, do me a favor, sit back and relax. And I'll be right back with the question of the night. Alright, we are back. So my question for tonight is it strange to keep memories of an ex around? You know, keeping pictures, momentums, notes. Is that weird to have around, especially if you're in a different relationship? It's one of those questions I'm on the fence again, you know what I'm saying? Because there are certain times where you may have something and it has a certain memory for you. It has a certain vibe. So just because you keep it doesn't mean that you're still interested or you're hoping to get back with the person that you broke up with. A lot of people don't see that, especially women. I can remember there was a time when I was dating someone. And I am a collector of pictures, the women that I've dated. Not to brag, not to, you know, just the fact that I hold on to them. No special reason. And they are, you know, well, they were in an envelope. And I guess I was working a long shift, 12-hour shift. So I believe we was having issues. So she went snooping and she found pictures. So when I get home, there are pictures of different women scattered on the table. So after a long 12-hour day, I'm pretty pissed off that I have to walk into my house and see some goddamn pictures that had nothing to do with her. You know what I'm saying? The reason we was arguing or having difficulty was mainly her. It wasn't me this time. So I'm like, what the fuck? Why are you going through my shit? That's my personal shit. So now, when I'm gone, I can't leave you here? You know what? Let me get that key back. I'm not playing. Let me get my motherfucking key back. I was at 10 times 10. Because I had a shitty day. I got relieved late. So I didn't walk in the house. And this was when I was working 12 in the p.m., 12 p.m. to 12 a.m. So I didn't get home till almost 2 o'clock. So I was already pissed that I had to work that shift. I never got used to that shift, 12 p.m. to 12 a.m. But to be relieved late and to walk in my house thinking that I may have, you know, a meal and a cold, you know, Heineken. No, I'm greeted with pictures of chicks that I used to date. So, you know, we argued and she tried to, you know, make up and kiss all over me and like, I'm sorry. I'm like, yo, get your behind out. I'm not going to even, this ain't going to even start like this. Nah. Eventually we got back together. We got back together, but it didn't last because I had a lack of trust. And apparently she did. So I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people have issues with you having, you know, memories or photos or special items that someone's giving you, because they think that there's still a connection that you have to that person, which may be stronger than the connection that you have with them. Even after relationships have ended, it can be difficult to let go of the memory shared. Some people keep photos, letters, and even old recordings of their ex around in a way to remember them. But is it really strange to do this? In some way, it can be a sign that you still care about your ex. And with me just reading that, I think that's only a small percentage of people. I think most people don't have that lingering effect on people. You know what I'm saying? I think it's also, sometimes you forget, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just really forget. I mean, just recently within the last, I'm going to say about 5 years, I got rid of most of the pictures I've had. I think there's a couple with me and someone, you know, but it's not like I'm holding on because I'm thinking of that person. I'm a couple of people who I haven't seen them or talked to them in years. Almost 20 years. 15 years. So there's no, you know, getting back together. You know what I'm saying? But I think there's one where I went to Vegas with somebody, and there's one that where I went to Disney World. So, and I think my mom is in one. You know what I'm saying? And that's very, very personal. I'm not getting rid of that. I'll fight anybody to the teeth when it comes to my mom's. But most people will say that it's strange, but some see it as a way of coping with the pain of the breakup. I don't agree with that, but I understand. For others, it can be a way of staying close to someone who has been a major part of your life. In any case, it's important to think about why you're keeping these memories around and whether they're healthy for you and your relationship if you're with someone else. However, there's no guarantee that this will happen, and it may not be the best thing for either party. I think, you know, when you explain the concept of keeping memories of an ex around, no matter what's your reason, there are a few things to keep in mind if you want to keep memories of your ex around. First of all, it's important to be realistic about why you're keeping the memories. If it's just because you're nostalgic, or miss them, then it might be better to let go and move on. But if there's something about that relationship that was very positive and made you happy, then holding on to those memories can be helpful in moving on. The pros of keeping memories of an ex around. There are several pros to this. It can be a reminder of what you had, how much you loved that person, how much that person was there for you. Memories of an ex can also make you appreciate the good things about your current relationships. And a lot. Once again, a lot. And one more time for the church. A lot of people will not understand that. Memories of an ex also can make you appreciate the good thing about your current relationships. A lot of people gonna be, why in the fuck are you comparing me to your last relationship? And if you take the time out to really understand what the person is saying to you, that's if they're being sincere about why they feel like this is, you know, why they feel like this is good for the relationship that they are in with you, then you might can understand them from their point of view. But automatically, it's like one of those things that will set you off. It will make you walk away. It will make you walk out the door, or make you have issues, or make you sit there and be pissed off. I think memories of an ex, at times, I'm going to say at times, can be a good source of comfort during rough times. And that's only if you're like by yourself. If you're going through rough times with your man or your woman, nah, because you're going to compare. Automatically, you're going to compare what's going on with you now and what was going on when you was with that other person. The cons of keeping memories of ex around. First and foremost, it can be really tough to move on from the relationship if you're constantly reminded of it. Every time you see or think about those memories, it's like a stab in the heart. Been there. When I say it's a stab in the heart, it is literally like someone's pierced in your heart. And it's not Cupid. It's some old blankety blank 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 person that has really hurt you. I'm talking about me, you know what I'm saying? Because everybody, you know, that's not the way I see it, though. That's not the way I feel. Okay, I'm talking about Rob. J.R. Robinson, I have experienced that more than once. I ain't going to say, like, you know, more than twice. I think it's been twice, yeah. That I've been really, but someone really had me fucked up. Three times. It's been three times where I've been like, oh my God, what the fuck? I'm not going to make it. It can also be difficult to form new relationships when your past is littered with reminders of someone who is no longer in your life. People tend to be drawn to positive energy, and dwelling on negative memories from a past relationship can definitely put a damper on things. How to keep memories of an ex around in a healthy way? In a healthy way? We all have that one ex that we just can't seem to shake. No matter how hard we try, they always seem to pop up in our mind at the most inconvenient times. While it's important to acknowledge and remember our past relationships, it's also important to do this in a healthy way. A couple of tips for keeping memories of your ex around. Don't dwell on the negatives. Number one, don't dwell on the negatives. It's natural to focus on bad parts of a relationship when it ends, but doing so will only make you feel worse. Remember good times too. They're what made the relationship worth remembering in the first place. Number two, talk about it. If you're struggling to move on, talk about your ex with a friend or a therapist who can really help you. To wrap this up, explaining that it is ultimately up to the individual whether or not to keep memories of an ex around. It's ultimately up to the individual whether they do this or not. Some people might choose to erase all memories of their ex from their minds in order to start fresh, while others choose to keep certain memories as a reminder of what happened in the past. Neither option is wrong. It's simply a personal decision that everyone has to make for themselves. If someone chooses to erase all memories of their ex, that's perfectly understandable. It can be difficult to move on if reminders are constantly popping up everywhere. But if someone chooses to keep some memories around, and if they are dealing with someone who understands, because I was watching something, and this lady, the person that she used to date, I think it was her ex-boyfriend, had passed. And her husband, she didn't tell her husband until something happened. Something happened within their marriage. And she explained that she still had ties to the guy. Even though she was happily married, she loved her husband, but she still had a certain feeling for the guy, because I think he died of cancer. So when she finally told her husband, he gave her the feeling like, it's okay. That was before me. I understand. You don't have to hide that. I'll help you deal with his loss. You know, because I know where your heart is at. You love me, I love you, and we're going to get through this. And he gave her room for her to go and, I think, I want to say she went to the grave, or she went to go see his parents or something like that. And that, I guess that's where she found her comfort. But see, what I'm saying is you may have someone who will be understanding what it is that you're going through. Why are you holding on to them? If you be honest and explain that, hey, this has nothing to do with you. This has nothing to do with me wanting to get with them again. It's just something in my past about what happened in my life before you. And that's why I'm holding on. Now, once again, people ain't going to understand. Most people not going to understand it. Most people going to take the you can say selfish mindset and be like, how can you think about them and me when you're in a relationship with me? Even though a person might be dead, they will still think it's wrong for you to have that memory. So, it's like I say, it's one of those questions that's on the fence. And I think to each his own, however you handle it would be the best way for you. But if you find that it's going to create issues and problems, then you might want to really think about holding on to it and letting it go, especially if you are dealing with someone else in a new relationship. And with that, I'm going to wrap this up, and I'll be right back with the topic of the night. Hey, welcome back. Tonight's topic is committing suicide, the ultimate form of betrayal in a relationship. Like I said in my opening remarks, this is my personal opinion. This is how I see it. I'm not trying to be negative when it comes to this topic. It's one that it was on the list of me not doing because of the impact it has just talking about it. But once again, channel flipping. I caught on HBO Max the HBO series Tremé, and it's the series where they talk about, it was about Katrina in New Orleans, the after effects of Katrina in New Orleans, and it took me forever to watch it. I've seen The Wire about 4 or 5 times. I've seen The Sopranos a million times. But I just didn't want to, because I didn't understand the tradition when it comes to Mardi Gras. I only thought it was about beans. And I know I'm going far left with this, but I'm going to come back to it. But I only thought it was about beans and Brussels. But after watching that show, it's one that I would have to watch again. And I don't want to get too far into it because I don't like to give away the show. But if you haven't seen it, definitely check it out. Tremé. T-R-E-M-E. It's not Treme, it's Tremé. And it's one of the best series that I've seen in a long time. But there's this storyline where this family, husband, wife, and daughter, living a life. He's a teacher. The husband's a teacher, and the mother is a lawyer, and the daughter is, you know, very, you know, smart in school, and, you know, they got the perfect life when you look at it. But he was dealing with a lot of stuff, particularly when it came to the rebuilding of New Orleans. And not to go too much into it, he committed suicide. And when he, what was crazy, he wanted her to play particular songs. So in his mind, he has planned that I'm going to commit suicide. Because when you leave a list of what songs you want played at your funeral, oh yeah, there's no doubt about it. I'm gone. To me, weak. I don't understand it. Maybe I'm not supposed to understand it. And if you've listened to this podcast, you've heard me say, I've done some fuck shit. That's the ultimate betrayal. If you're in a relationship, and if you got a child who adores you, if you got a wife who y'all are taking trips and, you know, planning for your daughter's future and everything is fine, I understand. Trust me when I say this. I understand dealing with mental health, especially within the last two years where a lot of people have gone through, have been affected by it. But there's nothing. When I say this, I don't care what people think or fucking feel, but when it comes to you having a family and you decide to take yourself away from that family, and the only thing that you leave, he left two notes. He left his request for what he wanted, what type of music, and then he said, I'm sorry. No, motherfucker, you don't get off like that. This is why I didn't want to talk about it. Because it hits hard. Not because I've lost a couple of friends because of suicide, and I don't understand. Especially one who just had the world at his feet. And we were just buddies. We was just military buddies. And for him to do that, it's still a mystery for me. I still ponder, what the fuck, man? You know? So my energy is not negative. And it's not positive. It's just on full blast when it comes to this topic. And I may not even get to what I want to talk about that I researched and wrote down. Because it has such a impact on me that I don't know. I'm trying to get through this without being so direct and so abrasive with it. But if you and your partner decide to break up because you're having all types of internal problems, you're cheating, she's unhappy, the stepkids don't like you, finances are an issue, okay, I understand. Because at times, you can work past those situations. You can't work past somebody killing themselves and leaving you a note saying, I'm sorry. No. No. You can't do that. You can't do that to kids. You can't do that to someone who has your back. From what I was watching, they had a good relationship. Now, they had arguments, and they had, times where they blew up on each other. But they always found a way to come back and make everything all right and be happy and celebrate Mardi Gras or, be a part of the festivities or have great engaging conversations. Now, when I say they had engaging conversations, they had some positive communication between themselves. So that's how much I watched and got into this show. That's why I'm able to talk about it, because that particular storyline, that was one of the storylines that hit me the most. It was a couple of them, but that one's like one of the top three out of that show. And then when I saw it, it was like automatically I had to do the podcast about my perspective on it being the ultimate betrayal in a relationship. A lot of people not going to agree with this. Anybody who's listening to this who may have experienced it, I feel my heart goes out to you. This ain't personal. This ain't about you. This is about something that I saw on TV. But it's one of those subjects that exist in the world. It's extremely real. So for me to talk about this, I'm doing it because it was on my mind. And it was like one of those automatic topics that I had to talk about. So, when somebody commits suicide, it is often seen as the ultimate betrayal in a relationship, from my point of view. Suicide is often thought as a selfish act that leaves someone behind who's grieving and unprotected. However, there are many reasons why someone might choose to take their lives. And what may be perceived as betrayal by one person may not be seen as such by another. Understanding why a partner might commit suicide can help provide support during difficult times. the ultimate act of betrayal. Committing suicide is the ultimate act of betrayal in a relationship. It goes against everything that your spouse or partner may have sacrificed for you. How can you expect your partner to stick with you when you have done this to them? How can you expect them to understand and be able to move on when you have created the worst situation that you could have created? To step out of my shoes and to... I can't say go in the shoes of someone who thought about committing suicide. Everybody has their dark moments. Everybody... wonder. Now, I don't know on what scale people may think about when it comes to doing harm to themselves or committing suicide or killing themselves. I can only speak for myself. I had a moment. I didn't want to kill myself, but I had a moment where I was lost. I had just moved to Atlanta, didn't have shit. And even though I had stayed with my brother and my sister-in-law for a while, when I got into my own spot, at least when I was with them, I was around family. I could, like, the pain that, well, the shit that I was going through because I lost my family, I had it in my brother's family. They were a good couple in the relationship. And I saw what I was missing. Then I moved to my own spot. So when I moved into my own spot, I'm like, yeah, I'm about to turn up. She coming over. I mean, let me call her, blah, blah, blah. That shit is cool for like the first month. But then when you get settled, you don't feel like going out. You ain't got no food. You got like fumes. You driving on fumes. And you wonder, how the fuck I get in this situation? Then... all of a sudden, everything is centered on you. You were the problem. You were the one who fucked up a great relationship, a great home. You had the perfect family, a boy and a girl, beautiful wife, hardworking wife. Had two vehicles, I mean, had a house, had everything. It was the perfect situation. Only thing we was missing was the white fence. And I fucked it up. So I had to deal with that. And in that dark moment of mine, I thought, what if I wasn't here? Now, granted, my gun was sitting on the table. And I'm not saying that I was looking at my gun to do some damage. I'm not saying that. But it was just weird that I thought about that at the moment, and that gun was, I was looking at that gun. I love myself too much to commit suicide, for one. I'm a coward when it comes to, you know, hurting myself. I don't even like pinching myself. So me thinking about putting a gun in my face and blowing my head off, nah. But I had a dark moment. I pondered the possibilities. And then I realized I had more to live for, and it wasn't about me. It was about little people that depended on me. And even though I ain't like the situation with the child support, still I had to do what the fuck I had to do for my kids. They had to get some type of money in their pockets to do what they wanted to do. They had to eat. They had to, you know, be taken care of by their mom. So that whole, you know, pondering went out the window. So I lit one up, you know. Had some. What was I drinking? I think I was drinking Hennessy. Hennessy with a splash of Coke, and I got my shit together. I, you know, worked a little bit overtime, took on a second job, and things were good. I was able to get past that moment. I've never had that moment again. I can remember I was living off of 285, off of, I think it was Jonesboro. Right there by the airport, near the SWATs, Southwest Atlanta. And there are times when I go past that area and I think about the shit I went through. know what I'm saying, as far as that moment. But everybody has that moment. How can you expect your partner to stick with you when, how can you expect your partner to understand when you, you know, commit that type of act? When you kill yourself, you're terrorizing your family. You leave them with unanswered questions and a feeling and feelings of guilt. The pain and suffering caused by suicide. I don't know. I can only tell you from what I've seen and what I've heard, but I don't know. I know what it feels like to lose someone, and it wasn't suicide, but for them to die unexpected. I know that pain lingers with me every day. Now, to know what someone goes through when it comes to suicide, I can imagine it's about the same or a little bit more. And if it is, it hurts. You know what I'm saying? It's like someone's constantly stabbing you, and you can't breathe. Every time you attempt to breathe, it's like, and someone's stabbing you. But you're still able to walk. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not like you're being stabbed and you just die. No, you're being stabbed. I'm getting too into this, man. Oh my God. Okay. It is devastating to lose someone unexpectedly. And it's got to be the same when it comes to losing someone who did it on purpose. To put a gun in your face, to fall off a cliff, to drown yourself, to electrocute yourself, however you choose to call it quits. And if you're in a relationship, it is the ultimate act of betrayal. The impact, same as the pain and suffering. I mean, it goes without saying. It's so self-explanatory that I really don't need to go into it. But the reason why I have stuff written down is because I want to tap into it. But I think I done spoke so much on it from the beginning of this segment that I really don't need to read off what I got written down. Because the ripple effects of suicide is fucking different. And it comes with so many emotions, so many unanswered questions, so just walking around endlessly trying to figure out what happened. Why did they feel good enough just to leave me a note saying I'm sorry? I thought we had a relationship where they could come to me about anything. I understand they may have been dealing with shit, but what the fuck? It takes years for someone to bounce back. Some people may never bounce back. And think about children. A child finds out that their parent took themselves away from them at a young age. They have to grow with that. Whereas an adult who's married or who's in a relationship with a person, they deal with it, but it's not as long as the child. It's not, and I can't say it's not more suffering to them as a child, but it's a lasting effect. A child has to see relationships. They have to decide if they want to be in a relationship. They may not be able to maintain the relationship because what their parents taking themselves away from them. Colleagues, co-workers, people in the community, everybody is stunned. It affects everybody when someone chooses to, like, wipe themselves away from this planet on purpose. And trust me, I understand when people have illness. People may have been diagnosed with cancer. And to a degree, I understand. Hell, I may even say, okay, I get it. It's fucked up, but hey, who wants to suffer when it comes to cancer? And everybody's different. Everybody don't want to get the treatments. Everybody don't want their family to see them suffering. Everybody don't want their family to take care of them when they're suffering. So there might be a reason why they committed suicide, because they don't want people to go through what it is that they're going through. So why not take myself away from everybody? I don't agree with it, but I understand. I don't know if I can have any more conversations like this here, man. Any more discussions like this, because I'm in a different space right now. You know what I'm saying? And I try to get away from giving advice. You know, I just try to speak clearly and try to speak my thoughts. And, you know, if you agree with it, that's fine. If you don't, I understand that too. But if you have someone in your life, and if you're feeling a certain way, and you don't know what's your next move, or if you're having thoughts, talk to somebody. If you can't talk to your spouse, go see a therapist. Talk to a friend. Talk to a coworker. Talk to someone that you know who's just going to listen. Not someone who's going to talk to you and tell you what you should do, but someone who's going to fucking just sit there and be there for you. Because you may not have the answers. You may not have, you know, the understanding of why things are fucked up or why you're going through certain things. But maybe someone else does. And I'm pleading with everybody, man. If you feel a certain way, think you might want to do something, think about it. Please think about it and talk to someone and realize that life is hard. It throws you curves. It can turn upside down in a minute, but it's precious. And once you're gone, you're gone. Ain't no coming back from that shit. Ain't no shit. I changed my mind. Let me get back up and start my day all over again. You can't. Once you decide to leave this earth and you cause yourself that harm, if you take your life, that's it. And if you're a believer in the highest spirit, in a higher being, whoever you choose to call your God, then you gotta know they don't appreciate that. They will look down on you upon that. And when it comes to religion, I'm not real big, but I know that it's frowned upon. I know that. I know that God sees suicide as a negative. I might be wrong, but that's just my personal opinion. All right, man. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this, because this shit is, this is more... It didn't come off as entertaining. You know what I'm saying? And the reason why I talk about stuff, because I want to, you know, get shit off my chest, and I want to be entertaining to a degree. You know what I'm saying? I want to give people 20, 30 minutes of, you know, positive thoughts and maybe a joke, or just try to keep it light and move on with our lives. But this is one of those ones that stops you in the track, and it has definitely stopped me in my tracks. Suicide is real, and if you're in a relationship, understand that you got someone who's depending on you, you got someone who loves you, you have someone who cares about you, and you got someone that needs you, and someone who will be there for you. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. Thank you for listening to me vent a little bit. I apologize once again to anyone who may have gone through this type of situation and find it difficult to have listened to this podcast or start out listening to it and then want to finish. I understand. But like I've always said, in my own opinion, this is from my perspective. And this is what makes my podcast unique, is because I'm going to talk about any and everything. that I can relate to or somehow to a certain degree relate to. Things that have affected me or things that I've been a part of, then yeah, I can talk about it. But anything that I've never done or don't agree with, I'm not going to talk about it. Plain and simple. I'm not going to talk about, have I talked about being choked? I think I have, yeah. but there's certain things I'm just not going to talk about, and there's certain things that I feel that needs to be discussed, and that's what it is. Anybody who have anything for me to talk about, reach out to me at whenhespeakserotica@gmail.com. If you didn't like the podcast, if you're going to talk to me about something, if you have a disagreement about something, hit me up. And as long as you hit me up, please be respectable, because like I said, this is about what I feel. But I'm also willing to listen to people and hear their side of the story, hear their points and their views. I'm very open. So, and we'll, you know, if you have something you want to, you know, send me a note and tell me about myself, I'll read it on, you know, the podcast. I got no problem with that. As long as you're respectable and you, you know, don't try to, you know, slander me or slander my name or just come off as an asshole, then we good. So, I wish everybody a good night. Take care of yourselves. Please be safe out here in these streets. And I will talk to you next week. Peace.